Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. On this Tuesday, myself, Andy, and Charlie, sort of a somber Tuesday. We'll talk about the Boulder shooting here after a bit. So I'll say a few things to start with. In the 5 o'clock hour, we'll spend a good portion of that hour talking about those things. Our hearts, thoughts, prayers, all of that do go out to all the family, especially the policeman's family. Not that the others didn't matter, but, you get where I'm going with that.
Well, absolutely. They're the ones who run toward the gunfire, not away. So,
that's
yes.
Right. All right. Yesterday's impossible question. According to a study, researchers say that to be on the safe side, you should eat this when it's less than 12 hours old. Charlie and I had no idea. Yeah, I never would have guessed this one. Snow. You still eat? Who eats snow? I guess kids. Charlie said snow ice cream as a kid. Don't eat the yellow snow, Charlie.
I've never eaten snow that I can. I'm sure I did as a kid.
I'm sure as a kid. I haven't done it for a long time.
I mean, isn't this something that you would think about for adults? Researchers say.
To be on the safe side. How about to be on the safe side, don't eat it at all?
How many little kids listen to researchers?
None.
You know, most kids, before they do anything in their day, you know, they're 3-4 years old, they first go online and see what the researchers think.
No, they just do it.
Yeah.
It just happens.
Exactly. Get that out of your mouth.
Eat dirt, whatever else it is.
Yep.
All right. Today on the KLZ 560 Facebook page, impossible question, answer it there. 86% of people under 25 have never used one of these, but most of their parents have. 86% of people under 25 never used one of these, but most of their parents have. Hint, the answer is not writing a check. Okay? So I would have guessed that. Actually, I would say payphone.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking either.
I don't think most people under 25 even know what one is.
Now, if it were a little older, I would say stick shift.
Ooh, yeah, it's really getting down as to people that can drive one.
Right. So I would say stick shift or payphone. Payphone, I wonder if even 14%, though, under 25
have
used a
one?
Payphone. I mean, think about that for a moment.
Oh, that's a good one, too. Over 10%?
Yeah. Because can you even find one anymore?
There's not many around.
Not really.
It's few and far between.
Yeah.
They're occasionally...
Is there something that's coin operated that used to be coin operated that isn't anymore?
Well, you know, I think arcades, whatever you call them, when we were kids. Do they still have arcades? I'm really dating myself. Charlie says yes.
Yes, they do at those places that also have miniature golf and so forth because you want a variety there. But outside of that, no.
And how do you pay there? Quarters or
tokens and tickets and stuff, and you get a bunch of them with your credit card at the front.
So it's probably not that.
No, I don't think so.
I honestly, folks, I guess, by the way, good question, because I would have originally said a check, because I don't think most kids, you know, today under 25 know what a check is even.
Right.
Nonetheless, I've ever written one.
Soon it'll be cash. But 86% is far too high for that right now. But I mean,
yeah, no, you're right.
You wait another decade, and they'll be saying that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with, payphone and stick shift are pretty good.
Okay, we'll find out tomorrow. On today's show, this first hour, we're going to talk to a special guest, Ari Hoffman, about a poll, by the way, that most New York Democrats don't want Cuomo to resign, which I find astonishing. So we'll talk about that in this first hour, along with some other things as well. Hour two, boys using girls' bathrooms, competing in women's sports. In other words, those that are transgender that then want to go compete with the opposite sex, I call it, because it's not same sex, it's still the opposite sex. We've got a guest joining us and talk about that. And then, like I said, hour three, we will talk about some of the Boulder shootings and so on. One thing I want to talk about real quick, though, before we get into this next segment, is Charlie's advice I always take. I don't talk a lot about these type of events until we hear more details that come out. And even today, there's a lot more details today than there was even last night when we were on air. So as each day or each hour even passes, you learn more and find out more about, you know, the gunman. And I, by the way, I'm not even going to say his name because I think that really props those guys up, and I don't like doing that, so I won't even use his name today. We'll just call him the nut job shooter, because I think we're finding as time goes that by that's what he is. But I noticed a lot of things on social media last night that I wanted to make sure I clear the air on. Being a Boulder, Colorado native, and I don't think there's very many people on air today, period, that can even say that, because there's not too many Boulder, Colorado natives my age even still around. Most folks have moved on. They're not even here anymore. I'm one of the few left.
Really?
Yeah, most Boulder natives, I mean, if you're a Boulder native, you've moved on, you've gone someplace else, because it's not what it was when I was a kid. But what I noticed last night, where there was lots of posts about, oh, you know, how could this happen in Boulder? You know, it's, you know, 10 square miles surrounded by reality, and, you know, the bubble finally burst, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know where these people lived prior or how long they've actually lived in Boulder, but, you know, I, as a native growing up there, I can remember back in time, even when I was a teenager, or young man, where we had these types of things happen back then. So I wanted to set the record straight for a lot of you listening that may not know these things, which, by the way, you will not find these things I'm going to tell you anywhere on the internet, and I don't know why. You will not find them on the Wikipedia page for how many shootings have been in Colorado. I can't hardly find any record of what I'm going to tell you, and I have no idea why, because these are real-life events. I know real people that were affected by both of the events that I'm going to tell you. In fact, I know the people individually that had either family or friends involved in both of the things I'm going to tell you, so I do know for a fact they exist, but yet you won't find them anywhere in history. It's amazing to me. One of those is, we had a movie theater shooting, believe it or not, in Boulder that you will not see again anywhere in any news outlets or anywhere on Wikipedia, anywhere on the internet. We had a movie theater shooting that, to my knowledge, to this day, they've never solved. A shooter came in to the movie theater after hours, after Andy would know how this works. You know, they're counting the change and getting things wrapped up and so on and so forth, and came in, and I can't remember if he shot one or two individuals point blank dead. And they never found the shooter. They didn't find the dead, you know, the murdered individuals until the next morning, because, again, it was probably 2 or 3 a.m., Andy, when things were finally getting, you know, wrapped up at the theater. And I happen to know one of the relatives of one of the individuals that was killed. So I know for a fact that happened.
Well, I mean, did this person, the killer, know people at the theater? Mm-hmm. It's just so unusual to go into a theater at all after hours. And it'd be the last place. If you're looking to kill a bunch of people, there's no one there.
But, again, because they never found the shooter, the witnesses were dead.
Right.
No one knows. It's one of those unsolved mysteries of Boulder. And by the way, it never gets talked about. And yet it happened back in probably the late 70s. So my point is, what happened last night, while tragic, and we will say it's tragic, not the first time something like that happened in Boulder, by the way. I'll give you one other example.
Go ahead.
So there was another shooter that I think he was a serial killer. He was a serial killer. And this particular gentleman started out in the mountains, and there were some young men that were up Left Hand Canyon. There's a shooting range in Left Hand Canyon, kind of on public property. I'm not sure it's still there anymore, but back in the day, it was a real popular place to go up the canyon. There was a little shooting range set up where, you know, folks would go up and they'd shoot on, you know, Forest Service land. And it was just one of those places you went to go shoot. Well, there were some guys up there shooting one day. I can't remember exactly what day of the week it was. I'm sure there's people listening that can tell you the exact day and time it happened, but they were up shooting, and this psychopath, basically serial killer, came along and somehow got their guns and killed them with their own guns at the shooting range.
Wow.
True story. And then went on to kill some other people thereafter in that Boulder area. So my point is this. Any of this social media stuff you're reading where Boulder's some utopian, you know, area that none of this has ever happened in its history, false, folks. 100% false.
Well, and John, I would think it'd be the opposite. Let me ask you this. Did this actually occur yesterday afternoon, like around 3 or so?
2:30, as soon as we were coming on air, the news reports were coming out.
Right, okay. So you're talking in the middle of the day, and I want you to think for a moment if this were Waco, Texas, where this killer would have known that one or several people in that place would have been armed.
True.
Would this have been as likely to have happened? Let's face it, you know, and I understand I'm getting political here. I'm sorry about that. I don't mean to get political. I'm just talking numbers. If there are more people who might shoot back,
right,
in Waco, Texas, you have virtually none of this ever in any way, shape, or form.
Andy,
why?
I can't disagree with you. Given
you go,
the fact
you go into a store in Boulder, you know almost certainly everybody in there is unarmed.
Well, and to your point, this gentleman lived not far from where I live today over in the Arvada area, and I can tell you that I don't know his exact address because they haven't published that yet, but most likely he drove by 3 to 4 other grocery stores, King Supers, Whole Foods, Sprouts, places like that, on his way to that King Supers if, in fact, he came from Arvada.
Do you have any idea why he might have? I mean, with the Aurora
other
shooter—
other than what you just said?
The Aurora shooter went by a lot of other places, you know, theaters, before he went to that one, which, by the way, was a gun-free zone
right.
theater.
Right.
I don't know about this store here.
And again, folks, we're speculating. I don't either. Those are some things we'll talk about in the 5 o'clock hour. But I know a lot of you will want to chime in on some things and even talk about some of the responses that you're seeing from the left, which, of course, never lets a good crisis go to waste. So, of course, they're already out. Joe Biden today talking about gun control, assault weapon bans. By the way, stupid things that will never have any effect on what happened last night, by the way.
No.
None.
Absolutely
Zilch.
None.
Nada.
Except for disarming victims.
Except for disarming the good people. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, it'll do nothing. So, again, we'll talk about that a little bit more through the show and in the 5 o'clock hour. Let's talk about Christy Nome as soon as we come back, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. We'll be right back. Myself and Andy, Extreme Auto Repair is up next, folks, and they want to take care of your vehicle. We say it all the time, and I really do mean it. The best way for you to save money is to keep that vehicle maintained and in proper working order, and Extreme can do that for you. And don't forget, they've got some great deals right now on Cooper tires. There's a $70 rebate on certain tires and a $50 rebate on others. Find them at klzradio.com or 303-841-1071.
The most frustrating part of getting your vehicle repaired is not knowing what they're charging you for. The team at Extreme Auto Repair has nothing to hide. Sean, Mike, Dave, and the whole team at Extreme Auto Repair and Parker want you to understand what's going on with your vehicle so you know how to prioritize your spending. They'll always be transparent because you're the one spending money. You need to know what's wrong so you can focus on the most important repairs first. Just ask, and they'll be more than happy to take you back to the service bay, open up the hood to show you what's going on, or hand you the part that's not functioning. Their philosophy is, why hide it? You might not know what to look for on your own, and the bill makes a lot more sense when you can actually see the part. Plus, you'll feel better knowing that they're not charging you for services you don't need. Take a look together. Schedule a repair now at klzradio.com/extreme. Promise is kept.
Bruce Simmons, folks, if you're 62 years of age or older and you're looking at doing something with the equity in your house, you want to live on it, you want to maybe buy a rental property, do some other things, take a vacation, you name it. You can do that with that equity and a reverse mortgage. Just talk to Bruce and find out how. It's easy. Go to klzradio.com or call 303-467-7821.
You want to work with Bruce Simmons because you can trust him. Bruce is usually the only person you'll talk to throughout the entire process. He's the one who meets with you and your family to explain the loan. He's the person you call with questions. He answers his phone himself every time. He personally attends all of his own closings. He'll even stay in touch after the loan closes in case you have more questions. John Rush recommended Bruce Simmons to his own mom and dad because he wanted them to work with someone local, someone who had specialized exclusively in reverse mortgages for more than 18 years. Someone who would guarantee their fees so the cost would never exceed what he quoted them at the beginning. Plus, John really likes and believes in Bruce. You already know you don't want to work with a national company because you prefer a more personal approach. So choose someone you'll enjoy working with and can trust completely. Find KLZ's Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise.
You've already decided to take your vehicle to a good shop for auto body work because you know you'll get your vehicle back faster. Now get ready to be wowed. Al Sturm founded a good shop because he wanted to offer his customers convenient service while controlling the quality of his work. Once you go online to get your virtual mobile estimate at klzradio.com/collision, stop by a good shop in North Glen or Commerce City after hours to drop off your vehicle any day, anytime. Because they have so many different OE certifications, giving them access to parts directly from the manufacturers, Al and his team at a good shop have more control over how long your repairs will take. But more importantly, you know you can trust the safety of your vehicle. Customers continue to come back and refer friends and family because of the wow factor of their flawless finished product. Mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs.
God. Country. Reason. Now back to John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. We do appreciate it very much. And yes, it's a sort of a solemn day. But I'm not trying to be calloused, but folks, life goes on.
It does. It marches on no matter what.
That's right. The sun comes up the next day, and you know what? Away we go.
But somebody kind of sunk their political life.
Well,
to a degree. Let's say took it down a couple notches.
I don't know. I watched the video, and I don't know that I agree with that.
Oh, she hurt herself. John, I'm sorry, but
I don't think so.
She severely hurt herself.
She didn't hurt herself with me, I will tell you that much.
Yeah, she did with a lot of Republican voters. I'm looking at the market
of voters.
Well,
then these are stupid Republican voters.
Not really.
Yes, they are. They're not thinking about it clearly, if that's the case, including Tucker Carlson.
You really think that?
I really think that.
I do not.
I think her approach is actually spot on, and I think anytime you start looking at legislative bills that will not hold muster in court, you have to be very careful about what you push forward.
But that's not the point here. That's not where she's making the mistake. Okay, she's saying that she needs to build a coalition. You're not going to build any more coalition. It's already built. Who are you going to add to it? Are you going to add Amazon? They're not going to come along. Are you going to add the NCAA? The NCAA is a far, far, far left-wing organization that despises everything about America. They're not going to come on board with you.
No,
so who are you
gonna, but that's not what she
who
said,
Who are you going
to
bring on?
She didn't say that.
Yes, she did.
No, she didn't.
No, but I mean, she's saying that she wants to build a coalition.
To fight them, not to bring
them
on.
To fight them. The coalition's already built. Everybody who would gather behind her to fight them is there.
Well, then formalize it and do that. That's all she's saying. Formalize it. It's not formalized at this point.
No, John,
you have no, you have no ability
I'm
to fight them at this point.
I know spin when I see it. She's spinning. She was
spinning. I don't agree with that.
She's spinning. She's spinning, and it's not working.
I think her comment about the trial lawyers would have a field day with this is a true statement. They would.
They would try. And by the way,
they would.
I believe that the court system in America is so stacked against us, we're going to lose everywhere doing anything that is good. Okay? So,
possibly.
Yeah, I think you're going to lose anyway. Okay? Given that.
No, but, you know,
but that's
no,
not the
but,
reason.
I'm
going to
stop you for a minute because I don't think that's totally true.
No, there's nothing she can do
I'm going to interject real quick on another case that's already popped up again today with Jack Phillips. Okay, Jack's already won. In his favor numerous times. So are certain courts stacked against us? Yes, but that particular case with Jack going all the way up the chain, he did win.
Yes, but Jack's was a very different kind of case.
No, I get that, but I don't think we can make – I'm always careful as a host to not make blanket statements that say all the courts are stacked against us. No, they're not. We can still win, i.e. Jack Phillips.
Yeah, when I say they're all stacked against us, I'm not saying we can never win. I'm saying because of how it's stacked, it's going to be an uphill climb.
It always
is. To win.
Of course.
And
yes.
In Jack's case, he was so right, so clearly right, that he won. I think Tucker, who, by the way, knows the law just as well or better than she does, I think he's well within his rights to say, look, you're basically shooting this bill down. And she is. She's destroying the bill, okay? And she's not going to bring it back in some lighter form that is going to in some way, shape, or form. No, she's going to gut the heart of the bill. That's what I see coming. I'm sorry, but I have dealt so much with political spin that I can hear it when I hear it.
Let's see what Craig has to say. Craig, you're up. What's going on, sir?
Hey, John and Andy.
Hey, Craig.
I'd love to get in this conversation. I had a spirited conversation with a coworker today.
Keep going, Craig. We lost you for a second. Are you still there? Hello, Craig. He's in cell phone hell.
He can come back. He can come back. He can be resurrected.
Come on, Craig. We know you can do it. Get that thing in that good signal. Well, I wonder what service he has. Oh, we lost him. There he went.
He'll be back. He'll
boom.
Be back.
Yeah, he'll call back.
Look, here's the thing.
I want to know what he has to say, though, his spirited conversation.
I do, too. Bottom line, going into this, Kristi Noem was running neck and neck with DeSantis, basically for leading the field going into 24. You know, and you can say unless Trump runs. I believe he won't.
Yeah, Trump's not running. All right, Craig, are you back now?
Yeah, sorry, guys.
That's okay.
I don't know where I dropped off.
You said you were having spirited debates, and then you dropped off.
That was it.
Okay, on this very subject, I watched Tucker last night, and he had her on to explain her reversal of decision. What I understand about the bill, the South Dakota Senate had passed it. All it needed was her signature.
Right.
She tweeted that she was anxious to sign the bill, is what I understand. And then for some reason she had a reversal of decision. Now, I don't quite understand her explanation last night. I think there's more to it than we know about. She seemed to think that it would not survive legal.
Right. She said the trial lawyers will tear it apart, is what she said.
That's what she said.
So I dug a little bit. I know there's other states that have passed legislation on transgender boys participating in women's sports. Right now, from what I read last night, there are 25 states with this kind of legislation either introduced or passed. Now, some states have made it as simple as you participate in the sport as the gender you were born.
And by the way, real quick, Craig, just to make sure we define, you know, high school versus college, are these other states doing it across the board, or are they doing it high school only?
I don't know.
Because where Kristi, you know, what I heard Kristi saying, again, I'm not defending her, I'm just telling you how I read it and view it and am looking at it, you know, on my end. What she was saying is high school wise, not an issue, do whatever you want to, pass whatever you want to, it's all good. But when you start getting to the college level, it's a different story with the NCAA.
Actually, she weakened it with high school as well and eliminated it with college. So she did some with high school and eliminated it with college. That's how she did it, for what it's worth.
Well, okay, then I don't understand why she feels that South Dakota by itself would be a target of the NCAA. If there are other states with similar legislation, would they not come after other states as well? Why does she feel like she would be targeted singly?
That one I would not. I mean, I think that's pretty well known. She would be.
Yeah, the NCAA hates South Dakota for existing.
That's right. They're going to go after that.
So they just need a reason, and they would look. So would the NCAA target South Dakota more than other states for the same thing? Yes.
Yes, of course.
On that, I agree with her.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the thing is, though, is that she's basically setting it up to where she's buckling to the NCAA He was right on this. Tucker was right on this. She was buckling to the NCAA. She was. She was buckling because she said basically the NCAA was going to come and bully them. And she tried to use a lot of legalese while not explaining the points where they would lose in court. She just basically said we would lose in court. And she kept saying it over and over again without giving any details as to why. But the bottom line is it all comes back to, you think that the NCAA will come after you, they're going to punish your state, you're going to lose events, and this is really why you're doing it, and you also think you're going to lose in court.
Well, and one other thing, let's add the other layer that she did say. Also, her feeling is you may not have any of your kids playing in, you know, any of your girls in that state playing NCAA sports, period. So I add that another layer to it. Craig, you want to comment on that?
Well, I don't know. I just, you know, if she, you know, I kind of liken it to the Liz Cheney situation in Wyoming. You know your state is staunchly Republican, and then you do something like this, which kind of makes everybody go, whoa, wait a minute. You're a conservative governor, and you're kind of waffling on this because of maybe you don't like the way the bill was written, and maybe, you know, maybe her legal counsel says, maybe she's right in that it needs to be rewritten, but I don't understand why she.
Well, that's
was
what
so
she
quick.
Basically did. She didn't veto it. Why she sent it back to have it rewritten, is what she did.
Seriously rewritten.
Right.
But why was she so? to tweet out when this first was introduced, I'm ready to sign this. Why did she not look at it first? Why did she
can't
look,
answer that.
Why did she leave before she looked? Is what I guess what I'm trying to say.
Craig, she looked at it. She looked it over in detail before tweeting out that she was going to send it back and so forth. It's just that she basically listened to a lot of, she says the lawyers, really, she was listening to a lot of political interests, including lawyers. And I'm sure she had some lawyers who said that this will not survive in court. The problem is that people on the other side were saying, yeah, but she's only listening to one side's lawyers. She didn't listen to any of ours. I saw some of their statements. She didn't listen to us. She didn't listen to our lawyers. She didn't listen to anybody on the side in favor of this bill. She only listened to the other side. That's their concern.
Okay, then my next question is, do you think she has higher political aspirations than being the governor?
Every politician does.
Oh,
that's an easy answer.
Not only does she have higher aspirations, she was, in my opinion, clearly one of the top two candidates to be our candidate in 2024. I believe that's over now. I believe this, unless she makes a big comeback and gets a strong bill like this put through, DeSantis has just buried her, in my opinion.
I'm thinking that maybe her decision was because she thought that she might not be able to sway the undecided. She knew she had the backing of the staunch Republicans, but by being a little more lenient on this type of a decision, she shows that she's able to reach across the aisle. Therefore, she can pull in people that are more moderate, maybe.
Perhaps, but that would be a terrible, if I were, if I were consulting with her, I would say, don't do this, please. That would be a terrible miscalculation because she's going to lose the primary because of it. I don't know. It's going to be, look, unless maybe she's thinking build a coalition of states to come as one.
I believe that's what she said.
No, she didn't. But maybe.
You sure?
But, yeah,
I thought I heard her say that.
No. But maybe she believes that that's the kind of coalition she could build, is the coalition of a bunch of states to do it as one. And, because she didn't get into what kind of coalition. And maybe do that. I don't know, but the simple fact is, right now, as it stands, she'll lose the primary. In fact, she won't even place second, and she would have, at the very least, placed second.
Now, this decision by these states to fight the transgender participation in girls' sports is in violation of Biden's executive order, correct, as it stands right now?
I believe that is correct, yes. I think you're right.
So, federally, this so-called coalition that they might form, how do they fight the president's executive order?
An executive order is not passed by Congress.
No.
And so you can fight that.
You can fight it all day long.
You can fight that easily.
They did with a lot of Trump's.
Court.
Look at the immigration stuff Trump did and how much they fought that every time he came out with a new executive order, they fought it.
Every time they put a lawsuit in, he got shut down.
That's right.
And that's the same thing that a state could do.
Which, by the way, we are not doing enough of as conservatives with Joe Biden, to be honest with you. That's a whole other topic probably for another day.
No, you're right.
We're not doing it. We should be. We're letting this guy get by with stuff we shouldn't be.
Right. I agree.
So, anyways, with that, we got to run, guys. Great. This would be a great topic even down the road as we watch and see kind of what happens here. We've got somebody going to talk about, though, similarly in New York with Cuomo. Because supposedly this constituent there still like the guy, which I have a hard time believing. How could you like that schmuck?
I don't understand it either, especially when you consider that they could put any liberal in place instead of him.
We'll find out from Ari Hoffman in a moment. Don't go anywhere. Franktown Firearms is next. Now, I know this is always delicate anytime we have something that happened like what happened last night. But I'm here to tell you that when those things happen, and you have the president and lots of folks on the left, including even our representative from Boulder last night on air, talking about we need something, we need more, we need this, we need that. Gun prices and ammo are going up, folks. It's supply and demand. Because when they start talking that way, more people will be buying.
Absolutely.
When more people buy and the supply runs short, the prices go up. So here's my point. If you've ever thought about doing something along these lines, and I'm still one that says the best way to fend off what happened yesterday is to be armed, and the best way to do that is at Franktown Firearms. They'll help you with all of it, even if you've never owned a gun before. So go check them out, klzradio.com, 720-770-7777.
Regardless of your starting point, Franktown Firearms will take your shooting skills a level up. Maybe you've never shot a gun before, and you want to get over your fear of pulling the trigger. Maybe you consider yourself an experienced marksman, but you've never received tactical training, and you want to develop muscle memory to respond in any situation. Head trainer Karen Murray and her team of trainers at Franktown Firearms design their classes to cater to your level of ability and prior knowledge, offering a diversity of firearms platforms from static to moving and shooting to target acquisition engagement. For Rush to Reason listeners only, sign up for a range membership now by filling out the contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee plus your first month free. Range members receive a discount in the shop as well as a discount on all classes. Franktown Firearms, confidence through practice.
All right, folks, as we start planning ahead and planning for your future, and again, events like last night kind of remind us that A, life is frail. B, you got to make sure you're taking care of things if you're not here. That's a Michael Bailey plug as well. But when it comes to Al, he works very closely with Michael to make sure that whatever you're leaving behind, it's handled correctly, that nest egg is protected. And talk to Al today to get that handled. Find him at klzradio.com or 303-744-1128.
Al Smith protects your nest egg from the high cost of long-term health care. Once you retire, you have one concern, making your money last. Founder of Golden Eagle Financial, KLZ's retirement planning specialist, Al Smith, has worked in financial services for over three decades, specializing in retirement planning for the past 16 years. After all those years helping people manage their money, Al has spent a lot of time listening to his clients' concerns about retirement. Al has personally seen friends and relatives burn through their nest eggs in a matter of months, spending thousands of dollars a month on hourly health care, either at home or in assisted living. As part of your retirement plan with Golden Eagle Financial, Al will help you find alternative financial products with significant benefits in retirement, ensuring your nest egg can withstand the high cost of long-term health care. Schedule a free consultation with Al Smith now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Before you can run your business more efficiently, you must learn to manage your own time. As the business owner, you cannot allow yourself to get bogged down by menial tasks. Your time is too valuable. You need to stay focused on the big picture. Otherwise, you'll be exhausted and frustrated. You won't have time for your family, and your company won't grow. John Rush will show you how to delegate for the sake of your sanity and your bottom line. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Barb with the United Way of Weld County said, "We are very happy with the copiers we currently have, and your customer service is exceptional. Doug is a great technician and is always prompt in coming out whenever we have a problem with one of our copiers. Thanks again for your wonderful partnership and customer service. I'm glad we are working with you." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Ari Hoffman will be joining us here in just one moment. We'll talk about Cuomo, and if we have some time, we'll even talk to Ari and see what he thinks about Kristi Noem as well. Are we calling him or is he calling us, Charlie? I don't remember. Sorry, I should have looked at my notes. He's calling us, or we're calling him. Charlie's calling him. Okay.
Charlie's calling him.
I see the signals now.
There you go.
It's a super secret signals. That's right. A little snow coming in tonight, folks, as well. Just keep that in mind.
Yes, it is. You know, between you and me, I am surprised that New Yorkers would still be in favor of Cuomo. I would think that they'd want somebody a little more, shall we say, marketable at this point.
Yeah, you would think.
Well, yeah, because it's not one of these purple states where they're worried, gee, we won't get someone like him. You know, I mean, they know that they're going to get another Cuomo.
Right.
So I'm just kind of surprised, that's all.
I'm, again, we'll talk to Ari
yeah,
and
we'll see.
Get a, I, I don't know how you could pull people there. I mean, not only, and we've talked about this before, you and I, not only with all of the sexual allegations, you know, sexual misconduct allegations going on,
right,
but just the way he handled the older population in New York, that alone.
He hid the numbers.
Should be enough to say this guy's a schmuck.
He hid the data. I mean, my gosh, you can't bury the numbers to hide that and then have it come out. Can you imagine if a Republican did that, buried the numbers to hide it, and then it comes out?
The guy's career would be over.
And it wouldn't matter how red the state was.
Ari Halpin joining us now. Ari, welcome back. Rush to Reason, how are you today?
I'm so sorry for everything your community is going through.
Well, yeah, we just got to make sure we have the proper response, and that's things we'll talk about through the rest of the show today. Let's talk about, though, a governor in New York that, frankly, Ari, I mean, there's a poll out. That, you know, all the accusations, everything else going on, New York Democrats still want this guy to hang around and not resign. I am flabbergasted. I don't get it.
I'm not surprised by this at all. Let's take a different example out in Georgia for a minute. You had that guy Warnock who was running for Senate. Oh, now he's a senator. And some friends of mine were voting for him, even though we're Jewish and they were Jewish, and he is a massive anti-Semite. And I said to them, guys, why are you doing this? And they said, well, we want the Democrats to have control of the chamber. I'm like, are you kidding me? You're voting against your own self-interest? I mean, you don't want to vote for a Republican, fine, but why are you voting for this guy?
Right, right. Great question, by the way.
So, right, and some people are just so blinded by ideology that as long as the person has a D next to their name, that's who they're going to vote for. And unfortunately, the socialists in Seattle have figured that out. They've taken control of almost every Democrat local party that's here.
Right.
And as long as they get that D next to somebody's name, that's who they're going to vote for.
You know, Ari, I agree 100%. That the New Yorkers, they want a Democrat and a hardline Democrat in that office no matter what. But aren't they going to get that no matter what? Why do they want to settle for somebody who is so tainted?
Well, they're also worried about getting somebody more extreme like Letitia James, like the Attorney General who outed him. And the fight inside the Democrat Party is, well, we don't like Cuomo. We think he's horrible, awful. But what if we get somebody like AOC supporter in there? That's what we're worried about.
Yeah. No. Where, I guess you don't have a crystal ball. Where do you see this headed?
I think that actually what will happen is he's arrogant enough to think that he can survive this and he's going to hold on as long as he can.
I agree with you, by the way.
Thank you. I think that what happens is you see that the Democrat Party is throwing him under the bus.
Literally, and they're backing over him at the same time. Not just throwing him under, they're backing over him.
Exactly. You know, heard the two bumps already.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, they're doing that as much as they can, but they're not doing this to Gavin Newsom. And the reason I think that is because if they can get him, if they can get Cuomo to go down for sexual harassment, they can avoid the nursing home scandal. Because don't forget, Cuomo wasn't the only one who did it. You also had Whitmer, Inslee, governor of New Jersey, governor of Pennsylvania. You had the governor of, I'm sorry, I'm losing track of all the different states that did this. But you had multiple governors that did the nursing home thing in addition to Cuomo. And if Cuomo goes down for that, it opens up
true.
The can of worms with regards to all of them.
Good
Ari, would you almost say that the sexual harassment charges for the party, not Cuomo, but for the party have been a gift?
For the Democrat Party? Yeah, 100%, because they say, oh, this guy, you know what, he's mainstream, he's establishment, and they want to give him to the left. Notice, who did the Democrats dispatch out to the West Coast to help him out? Cory Booker, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders. It's not like they're sending out the president, vice president, or any of the more mainstream Democrats. They're sending out the far left flank.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And I agree with Andy. I think this was actually a huge blessing to the Democrat Party to have this come out. Because to your point, Ari, if they, and Andy and I have talked about this many times, by the way, if they were to actually go after him for what they really should be, not that sexual harassment and what's gone on there isn't an important issue, it is, but if they were really going after him for the death of old people, to your point, it would open up the doors in multiple, what is it, 6-7 other states probably?
Exactly. By my count, hang on, let's do it together. California, Pennsylvania, Washington, New York, New Jersey, and Michigan. I got six right there, and I'm sure there's more of them. Those are just the ones we know about. I mean, don't forget, most of the media is ignoring
that
it happened in Washington State also.
Right.
They're barely touching on the other states. So who knows how many of them actually did this.
Yeah, and by the way, just for everybody listening, to me, that, and Ari, I think you would agree, that of all things that he's done should be immediate grounds for removal as governor and should be for any of the other governors that did that. I mean, we talk about COVID and we know who needed to be protected the most almost from day one. I mean, within a week, we pretty much knew what we needed to do to protect our elderly, and yet none of these governors did that.
Exactly. They did quite the opposite. In fact, in Washington State, it's even worse. In Washington State, Governor Jay Inslee offered Medicaid money to these facilities if they took these COVID patients. So was this all just a scam to get more money? Because then Inslee had the gall to ask the Trump administration to provide them with more Medicaid money so that they could do more of that.
I would think your answer is probably a resounding yes. They probably did and knew all of that when they were going into it.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the case for so many people's grandparents and parents.
Yeah, I don't put anything past those particular individuals in that particular arena. To me, you know, COVID was just one large excuse to be able to do some things on you know, let's face it, there's a lot of these cities and even states now that are going to get a bunch of free money from the feds. Not free money, it's your and I's and Andy's money that we're paying in taxes. There's no such thing as free money, but you get where I'm going with this. And I think a lot of these guys, even Colorado, our governor here, they knew all of that and they thought this is a great way to help balance the budget.
Well, you're starting to prove it. The fact that they're pushing these school unions that put them in power to go back into the classroom, it's because they realize they're about to lose a ton of federal funding because they get funded per student.
Right.
If they don't have those students enrolled anymore, they ain't getting that cash. That's why you're seeing the split.
Yeah.
Hey, Ari, really quick here. This is going to die down with Cuomo over the next, you know, couple months. It has to die down at some point. Do you see any...
Well, and real quick, I'm going to stop you for a moment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because of things like what happened last night here in Boulder. So, yes, you're exactly right, Andy.
Right.
Yeah.
So this story, you know, the whole sexual harassment thing, it's going to die down at least somewhat as a story. Do you see any of those other governors, though, coming under any fire and being somewhat endangered by their own base saying, hey, man, we can do better than this?
No, unfortunately, I don't, because right now they're in power, and unless they're susceptible to a challenge, you're not going to see them challenging somebody who's in power. The Democrat Party is especially good at keeping themselves united and attacking Republicans until there's an opportunity to change who's in power.
By the way, I just got a text message from Dan's sister, Ann, who's a producer and helps me out on the show here. Ari, Minnesota, too. Let's add that state into the list you just gave out a moment ago. That governor did the same thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's probably more.
Yeah. So to your point, you know, you might very well be able to go to even all of the Democrat run states and find the exact same thing. So, no, to your point, I do believe what you said earlier. Let's recap. Cuomo, he's going to keep going as long as he possibly can. This guy is drunk on power. He's not going to want to give up no matter what his own party says. And it's going to be interesting as we get to the end. Because it'll be he and his party fighting against each other as to how long he stays there.
Exactly, and it's only going to continue. He's arrogant enough to think he could win another re-election, and these polls are supporting it. Don't forget that a whole bunch of the common sense people, about 400,000 of them plus, moved out of New York, leaving behind the people who are actually happy with the way he's running the state. So you only have less voters to vote on the side of common sense than you had before.
Well, you're right. All right. How do folks find you, Ari, and more about you? I know you got a website. What is it?
No problem. You can find me on Ari Hoffman Official on Facebook and Instagram. You can find me at The Hoffather on Twitter, and you can find my articles at thepostmillennial.com.
Ari, thanks as always. I appreciate you joining us, sir.
You guys stay strong.
We'll do it. We'll do it. We will. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. Michael Bailey Law, Mobile Estate Planning. Again, folks, not wanting to use, you know, last night, you know, as an excuse to call Michael Bailey, but it's a reminder that you could be in for groceries and have something like this happen, you have no idea when your life is going to end. There were 20-somethings, and there were folks all the way up into their 60s in that store last night, the 9 individuals that lost their lives. So we don't know. And again, we just want to make sure that you talk to Michael and have things set just in case anything were to happen. It's much better for you to do that now, because once you're gone, you cannot do it after. KLZradio.com, 720-394-6887.
KLZ's mobile estate planner knows how to protect your savings from healthcare costs, but you want to plan ahead. You worry about what might happen to your savings should you or your spouse need long-term care. Medicaid could ask you to spend down your assets, draining your accounts. You will feel so much better knowing that you have planned ahead to preserve your assets. Finishing your estate plan with Michael Bailey Law feels like such a relief. Ask Michael Bailey about setting up an asset protection trust. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/estate.
All right, Purifoy Chevrolet is up next, folks, and they want to help you with all of your vehicle purchase needs. And I said this yesterday, the chip end of things because of a big fire in one of the chip plants, manufacturing plants, is going to delay a lot of cars from being produced. So what I would say is if you're in the market for a new car, I would get that bought now versus later. And just remember, you won't be held hostage when you go buy a car at Purefoy Chevrolet. So find them out in Fort Lupton. It's not much of a drive. Shop online at purefoychevrolet.com or 303-659-8311.
Corey, my blushing bride, where is the best car buying experience you've ever had?
Hands down, Purefoy. And I'm not just saying that because I do not enjoy buying cars. But when we had to buy one, they made it so easy. The financing especially was smooth as silk.
Why?
Well, you walked in and it's true. They were just so friendly. I didn't feel like I was targeted. I needed a car. I didn't want to get a car. And they understood that. They took the time to let me really test drive what we chose. And then they explained and answered every single question that I had.
Folks, there you have it. And by the way, Corey's telling the truth. I like looking at rows of cars and doing all that. I get into it. She hates it. And she actually enjoyed herself at Purefoy. You will too. For a better experience, go to purefoychevrolet.com or give Purefoy a call at 303-659-8311.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And yes, once again, our thoughts, hearts, prayers go out to those that were affected by the shootings in Boulder last night. My hometown, it's where I grew up. In fact, the area where that shooting was in, that King Supers, I spent a lot of time up in that area. My grandmother lived in South Boulder, went to school in South Boulder. So I spent a lot of time in that area. And back then, Boulder wasn't a huge town. But I can remember even when that King Supers was actually built and put up. So that's how long I've actually been around and how long I was around Boulder. So we'll talk more about it. There's more news even coming in as we speak. Andy and I will keep recapping through the breaks and through this next hour. We'll talk more about it at the 5 o'clock mark. But up next, I did want to talk about this because this is something, again, Andy, because of a lot of these other things that are in the news. There's not much press on this. So I wanted to make sure we mention it because it's one of those things that, folks, let me tell you what, if you're not careful, this is going to affect everybody, whether it affects you directly tax-wise or not, it will still affect you, and that is Biden's new tax plan.
Okay.
Which he continues to lower the threshold for who's going to pay higher taxes.
He cut it in half.
Yeah, he keeps cutting it back.
What do you say, like married couples making $400,000?
Right.
But individuals just making two.
Right.
You know, here's the thing, John. When you get into that range, you're talking small business owners who create all the jobs.
That's right. That's right, Andy.
You are taking money directly out of the pockets of those people who just got slaughtered by COVID.
That's right. That's right.
Am I right?
Well, yeah, and let's face it. In this area, and for most people listening know this, it's hard to live comfortably in the Denver area without either having a dual income or somebody making really decent money. And what I mean by decent money is in Colorado right now to have a really decent life, I guess you could say, you know, to be able to handle the cost of living and so on. You need to make about $150,000 or you're not enjoying life like most of your neighbors are.
Exactly.
And I'm not exaggerating when I say that, folks.
No, you're not at all. People who live downtown, near downtown, Cherry Creek, obviously Cherry Creek is thought of as more upscale. It's become less so, by the way.
I agree.
It's trended down.
I agree.
But you've got some areas in and around there that are very well off. And obviously up into Boulder, these areas, you need to make $150,000. And so you're talking
or above up there
or above. And so you're talking a high percentage, not over 50, but I'm talking a pretty high percentage of people up there make this kind of money. And once again, John, they own small businesses that employ people who make less than that.
Yeah. Again, folks, I'm not trying to, paint anybody into any kind of a, tax category, anything along those lines. But I just know in Colorado, especially if you live in some of the areas that Andy just, mentioned, any of our higher end suburbs, really, I just need to say high end. What's the average price now in Colorado? About $600,000 if you're going to go buy a house, roughly,
Yeah. Probably? Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, yeah, you can find some that are less than that. But in general, which means your first house is going to be in that $500,000 to $600,000 range. The next one's bumping up to $750,000.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. It depends, unless you go way out in the sticks.
But then you've got other factors and expenses
exactly.
And so on. So,
exactly.
Yeah, to your point, yes, you're exactly right.
Yeah. And because of that also, you have wages going up. Wages are going up. First of all, they went up under Trump quite a bit. And secondly, they're going to have to go up just because of inflation. Right.
Yep.
And so you're going to have inflation jacking up those wages year by year over the next 2 to 3 years quite a bit, John. which means what? They're going to go right into that tax bracket.
And keep in mind, folks, there's a lot of you listening that are probably in that realm, you know, where these figures will affect you. And how do I say this correctly, Andy? Making money in life is a lot like professional sports. You come in sort of low, you know, you get out of right. high school or college, you kind of start making some money, you build up, you kind of have this peak. There's a lot of burn because the family's requiring a lot of cash. There's a lot of stuff going out the door from schooling to sports to clothing to events to vacations to you name it. And that burn rate goes up and up and up. It finally flattens out a little bit. Then the kids start moving out of the house. Maybe you're still making decent money. You know, maybe it's starting to taper off a little because now you're probably in your mid to late 50s. And then all of a sudden things taper off a little bit. But my point is, when you're in that peak where, yeah, you might be making some really decent money, money you never thought you'd ever make in your entire life, but the reality is most of it's going out the door to support the things I just mentioned.
Well, most of it's going out the door, and you need to be saving up money during that time because the peak is about to go behind you.
Right.
And now that's when they're going to hit you.
Coming along, he's going to just grab more from you.
Right. He's going to grab more from you. And once again, John, I know I keep saying it, you have employees. If you have less money in your pocket, what can you hire that extra employee?
No, in fact, as business owners, just I know we've only got a minute here, but let me give everybody a little tip. The way business owners look at things is if they're doing fairly well and they're making, you know, a good wage and they're able to do the things that Andy talks about, well, now they look at secondary locations or additional businesses, or
right.
maybe I should buy the building that I'm, you know, occupying now, or maybe I should buy this new piece of equipment that'll make life easier for my employees, or maybe I can add a higher Cadillac plan of healthcare to my employees, which we talked about yesterday afternoon. I mean, on down the line we go. When you're not making much money, or the little bit that you are making is getting taken away by the government, you actually just go the opposite direction.
Absolutely.
You don't do what I just said.
No. I always tell young people, you want taxes raised on the rich. Let me ask you this. Do you want your employer to be poorer? Do you want your best customers to be poorer? And do you want all of your customers' employers to be poorer?
Folks,
that's what Biden's about.
This will not help drive the economy any way, shape, or form. And by the way, we've proven this time and time and time again throughout history. This will do nothing to help with economic growth in this country. And why the well, I was going to say why these knuckleheads don't know that. They do know it, Andy. Their ultimate goal is to do this. They know this will cripple the economy, and they just don't care.
No, actually, they want it crippled. That's going to make more people dependent on them.
Thank you. The golden rule, the guy with the gold rules.
Yep.
And they want to be the guy with the gold.
Yep.
Not you, by the way. All right, American National Insurance is up next, and a lot of you, we have to have insurance. We need it to drive. We need it on our house. I talked the other day about umbrella policies. Those are things that each and every one of you should be looking at and make sure that you've got in place. And if you don't have that and or have an agent talking to you about those things, call my good friend Paul Leuenberger, who is my personal agent, 303-662-0789. Again, American National Insurance, 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789. And ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, real quick, I got a question for Andy. A minute left is all. So Joe Biden, most likely this 200, right. 400 won't even be what's said on. It'll probably come less than that. How does the left look at that, since that's where you came from?
We on the left always looked at it like this. We will set it at a certain level, but we know that inflation will raise wages. So all the people right now making 180 and 190 thinking, hey, I'm under it, within a year are going to be over it. And so we know that inflation will boost a lot more people up over that margin, and we'll have the money rolling in within a year to 2 years.
So you're looking down the road, not for the immediate right now.
Yep.
There you go, folks. There you. And by the way, if you think this is where he's going to settle, I would actually wager a bet in Vegas probably that he will not settle at 200, 400.
And I would not bet against you.
All right, we'll be right back. If you're listening to our replay hour, we appreciate it very much. We'll be back tomorrow for Health and Wellness Wednesday, though. In the meantime, hour number two is next. We are going to talk about transgenderism next with Denise Schick, so stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.